Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I want to tell you this morning about the best friend I have. And early in the spring, I preached on the Holy Spirit, different message. And I want to preach on him here again this morning. And I trust that somehow, some way, you'll understand how good our God is. His first mention, his first introduction is Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. As a matter of fact, where the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. That's where the Holy Spirit is introduced to us. As a matter of fact, it's in verse 1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let us, verse 26, make man after our, the Godhead, Elohim. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's introduced again over when he breathes into that clump of dirt, the breath of life. That's God the Holy Spirit. That's what pneumatology, that's what it means. God breathed. And he breathed life into Adam. Man, he was there when the church had life breathed into it in Acts in chapter 1. It says in verse 8 of chapter 1, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's in the upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, the breath of God. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And 15 languages were spoken that day. They're mentioned there. Geographical languages in Acts in chapter 2. And the church was born. The church was born because the Holy Spirit energized it. The church was born because the Holy Spirit breathed the breath of life, the breath of God, into the bride of Christ. That is the church of Jesus Christ. Over and over, he gave to us a book. All scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed. God wrote a book. And he breathed into it and he made it live. We have the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. And I'm telling you this morning, the best way I know how, we are in desperate need of God the Holy Spirit in this ministry. Amen. Orthodoxy is not enough. We need the Spirit and power of God. And I'm not preaching anything wacky. I'm not preaching anything that's wildfire. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, you can believe all the right stuff and be deader than last year's Christmas tree. Yeah, right. Until you surrender to God. I want to tell you about my best friend. Go to John in chapter 14 to start with. John in chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 12. I know I read this just several weeks ago, but I need to build something here, and I want you to understand it. Look up at me before I read it again. These are New Testament words. Unction. Anointing. Enabling. Endowment. Moving. Those are all words associated with God the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're born again, you got all of the Holy Spirit. The question is, does he have all of you? You don't bisect and dissect God. That's not it. When you got born again, you got the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you about that in a quick moment. I got to read fast. Verse 12 of chapter 14, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Verse 16. And I said this in Sunday school. No gadget is going to bring you the peace of God. No technology is going to give to you the power of God. You need the Holy Spirit. Man, it's wonderful that we got all kinds of gadgets and we got all kinds of technology today. But that's not going to bring you any closer to God. There needs to be a surrendering to God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. That's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's after the day of Pentecost. Verse 26, but the comforter, that's Paracleta, that's the one that comes alongside, that's the helper, the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's going to comfort you. You'll never be alone. He's going to teach you. He'll teach you truth. He's going to enable you. Paracleta, look at chapter 16 and verse 7. Oh, look at 15, 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The last days of the church are the days of Holy Spirit power. We already read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And I'm not talking about some kind of wildness, some kind of foolishness where flesh enters into it. But I'm talking about the power of God that brings souls to Jesus. And people are genuinely born again of the Spirit of God. The power of God that causes babes in Christ to grow in grace and become giants in the faith. The power of God that is better felt than telt. And you understand orthodoxy and you understand the Word of God. And you rightly divide the word of truth, and you don't read into it any kind of foolishness, and you surrender to God, and God moves. There's unction, there's anointing, there is a teaching, and God, the Holy Spirit, always, always, always exalts the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's what we just got through reading. Look at chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. God had a plan. Jesus was going to Calvary. He understood that's why he came to this earth, to seek and to save that which was lost. He understood that that's why God gave him a body, and he was going to be the supreme sacrifice, the very Lamb of God. When John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And he went to the cross as the Lamb of God and bled out. He shed his blood and made atonement for all of our sin. He dismissed his spirit. Went to the grave and then conquered death on the third day. He got up from the grave. And then he ascended on into heaven. He told his disciples before any of this happened, the Holy Spirit will not come until I leave. I've got a work that I'm set to do in Jerusalem. I am going to be nailed to a cross, and I'm going to die in your place. And then after I have victory over the grave, after salvation is complete, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God to help you, to help the church in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the first century, if you know your Bible, I can take you to at least three passages that teaches the whole world was reached with the gospel of Jesus in that first century without gadgets. All they had was the Holy Spirit. And here it is, the 21st century, and the whole world in this final years of the church is to be reached again. I just think that's where we're at. I believe that's where we are. And this is the church of the last harvest. Let me say this before I get any further in the message. If you ever one day planned on serving God, you better start today. You better get at it right now. Don't say, I'm going to get old and retire. I'm going to make my money. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have children. I'm going to enjoy life just a little bit. You won't get that opportunity. Man, we are there. We are there. Jesus, no man knows the day or the hour, but Jesus is coming very soon. I'll preach that until I hear the sound of the trumpet. You got to know that. Go back again to John 16. I'm almost to my message. John in chapter 16. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit, best friend I've ever had. Now I say it's Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is Jesus in the Spirit on this earth right now. I believe in the Trinity. The Bible teaches the triunity, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're all separate in office, but they're one in essence. We have one God, as taught in the Ten Commandments and taught throughout Scriptures, Elohim. We worship not a three-headed beast, but one God who manifests himself three different ways. And that's about the best way I can think to explain it. Now in Luke in chapter 24 and verse 49, he said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem, this is prior to Pentecost, until you be endued with power from on high. He said, the day is going to come. You gather in Jerusalem and you'll be endued with power from on high. There's only one Pentecost. It's already taken place. The Holy Spirit has come. The church has been born. The church has been in existence for 2,000 years. And I'm telling you, the desperate need of the church, the true church of Jesus Christ, is Holy Spirit power. You got that going on in your life right now? Are you someone that God can just, he depends on, he counts on? When you need somebody spoken to, he lays it on your heart and you go and do it? Are you seeing people come to Christ all around you? Are you kind of like, you bring Christ, you practice the presence of God into every room you enter? Man, is the power of God and our souls being saved and people being ministered all around in your life? And if not, I'm telling you, you are not completely right with God, even as a child of God. And a church that is not an evangelistic church, they may be orthodoxly, they're right doctrinally, right down the middle, right where they're supposed to be, but they don't have the breath of heaven. And they're out of the will of God. First thing the Holy Spirit's going to tell you to do is, first of all, you got to get born again. Amen. All right, look at John chapter 3. You know the passage. John chapter 3. I'll not belabor it. I'll read quick. Verse 5. But listen to this, Jesus answering, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's flesh, and of spirit, that's Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born once physically, born once spiritually. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto ye, ye must be born again. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, look over there quickly. Ephesians, get your fingers all limbered up. Chapter 2, let me hear those pages turning. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, and the children of disobedience. And he goes on and speaks further to that, but he's made us alive in Jesus Christ. If you're watching by way of live stream, and you may not know it right now, or you're here in the auditorium and you may not know it right now, if you're not saved, your biggest need in life is to take Jesus Christ, receive Jesus as your Savior. Amen. That is number one. You don't need more money. You don't need a certain partner in life. You don't need a better job. Your biggest need, you don't need a new car, man. Your biggest need is that you get born again. Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Look at one more verse. First Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, speaking of salvation. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, or whether we be bond or free, we have been made to drink into one Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the day you got born again, baptized you. I don't mean water baptism, that's a picture. But he baptized you, he covered you, he immerses you, and he put you into the family of God. The day Tim Rader got saved, the day you got saved, if you got born again, that moment you got saved, you died to self, you received Jesus as your Savior, Savior. You were buried in the likeness of his death and raised again to walk in newness of life. You were immersed by the Holy Spirit into the family of God. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and you stay in the family of God. Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 as well. He baptized you into his family. He indwells you. He seals you. You're his. He saves. He keeps. He satisfies. And then after you get saved and after you get that all squared away and you know, man, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm saved by grace and saved by the mercy of God. It's a gift, the gift of eternal life. Praise God for that. Then he begins to grow you and he'll endow you and he'll enable you and he'll empower you. He'll enlighten you along the way. Those are all, again, Bible words where he teaches you the word of God. Nothing better than growing in grace after salvation. Best thing that ever happened in my life was getting born again, getting saved. Next best thing that ever happened in my life spiritually is when I'm reading the Bible and God feeds my soul and he makes my spirit alive and he makes it stronger and I grow in grace and I learn more about my God and I get victory over personal sin. That all comes by way of Holy Spirit power. Using the Word of God, the sweet and precious Holy Spirit. Again, if you're here today and you're not born again, you need Christ today. You need to be saved. And I'm telling you, come to Christ, you'll never regret it. Never. Your next biggest need, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5 and verse 18, turn there quickly, quickly. And be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You don't get God's power by just being orthodox. Using that word orthodox this morning, I'm just saying squared away doctrinally. You know right and wrong. Man, you know, you understand the deity of God, the deity of Christ, the deity of the Holy Spirit. You understand we're saved by grace. You understand that God's ordained the church and this is the church age. You believe in the premillennial, pre-tribulational return of Jesus Christ. You understand that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. You understand bibliology. You got all those things all squared away. The blood atonement, you got it all squared away, but there's no power in your life. You can't just be orthodox. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. God, when you come to Christ asking for and filling power, God sends nobody away except those that are full of themselves. If you surrender and ask God to infill you for the hour, for the day, whatever your need is, and you surrender to him, you empty yourself of yourself, he's going to infill you. You present yourself a sinner saved by grace, but an empty vessel. God, do in me today what needs to be done. God, enable me today and with whatever enabling I need, whatever ministry has to be done. God, give me wisdom. Teach me today. You show me. But the problem is there are so many Christians not willing to surrender. And there's so many in the family of God that maybe they used to surrender, but they don't surrender anymore. They're just kind of taking it for granted. I wonder how many people got up this morning in your prayer closet and said, God, I surrender. I'm yours for the day. Whatever you want me to do, man, I'm yours. I'm setting myself out of the way. The old Tim Raider, he's out of the way, and I want you to control my life. Man, if you do that, you would know the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. And when two or three people do that, or a church ends up doing that, then real revival breaks out, and great things are going to happen. The vision here is for a church of 1,000 people. And I know people are saying, well, man, that's going on the internet right now, Pastor. You know, that's all well and fine. I'm glad for that, but I want them here. Man, I want them here. I want a church that is a stick of spiritual dynamite. I want a church that's filled up with not spiritual midgets, but spiritual giants. People that know how to pray and get things from God. People that are reaching our Jerusalem and then our Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. I want people who mean business. I want to be a pastor who is filled with the Spirit of God. Our biggest need today is the fullness of the Spirit of God. My problem is I grieve God the Holy Spirit all too much. Look at Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 23. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. I keep getting in the way. I keep grieving God the Holy Spirit. My biggest trouble is Tim Raider. Maybe in your own life you sense yourself spiritually adrift. Fix it. How about that? You sense yourself drifting away from God, getting to the place, you know, pray, Pastor, somebody hurt me. Well, suck it up, buttercup. Everybody gets hurt. If you're going to play the game of football and you're going to walk off the field, some first time somebody cheap shots you, somebody puts a helmet in the middle of your back, first time somebody doesn't treat you right, you're walking off, you got to take your helmet off, you're walking to the coach. Coach says, hey, what are you doing? That guy doesn't like me out there. I quit. You know, what kind of team is that? That's not the game of football, is it? It's not the game of life either. It's not the way it is in the family of God. So somebody hurt you, suck in your poochie lip and start serving God again instead of yourself. You're serving yourself? You're worried about getting hurt. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It's just like putting on a new coat, new set of clothes, taking off the old, putting on the new. It's a choice of the will. Being born again, you just come to Christ. You choose Jesus. He saves you. It's a supernatural work. The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the family of God. You're a sinner saved by grace. But to live for God, you must make the choice to be filled with the Spirit of God. You must make the choice to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Take off the old man, put on the new. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Don't quench the Spirit of God. Don't be a wet blanket. Don't be that one that comes in and you're the naysayer. Anything we've ever attempted to do for God, there were those that said it couldn't be done. Every single event, every single building project, every single Sunday school campaign, every time we try to do something big, there's always going to be the naysayers, the wet blanket. That is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't be that guy. Don't be the pessimist. It'll never be done. You'll never reach this town for Christ. Those people will never get saved. Man, that's a waste. You'll never raise that kind of money. You'll never get that bill. Man, it sounds like Sanballat and Tobiah. You've been reading the book of Nehemiah? It sounds like what was going on there. Naysayers always exist when the work of God is going on. So I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. I certainly don't want to quench the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. I'll pick it up. But I do want to walk in the Spirit. Look at Galatians 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. I'm trying not to be too scattered. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Simply put, live in the presence of God and practice repentance. Live in the presence of God. I know God the Holy Spirit indwells me. I know I'm not a perfect man, but I know I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm born again, saved by grace. I understand all that. And the Holy Spirit indwells me. I know before I got saved, there was no spark of divinity in Tim Rader. That is liberal theology. That is godless theology. But when I got born again, God the Holy Spirit quickened my spirit. He came, he lived within me. And again, he sealed me, indwells me, and he's there. And so I'm to practice the presence of God. Everywhere I go, at every event I'm at, I'm bringing Jesus with me. I'm bringing the Holy Spirit with me. I'm a representative of God the Father. And I'm to practice the presence of God. And I'm also supposed to practice repentance. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'll keep short accounts with God. And he'll enable me. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, don't have time to turn there. Paul said, I thank God that he enabled me in putting me into the ministry. We'll be endued with power from on high if we just ask. Ephesians 1, 18, he enlightens us, so he endues us, he enables us, he enlightens us, he transforms us. Look at Romans chapter 12, last verse we'll look at this morning. Romans in chapter 12. Verse 2, empty vessel, that's all I am. I don't have any talent I gave to God. I couldn't stand up in front of a crowd, in front of a group of people and preach. I just stepped out in faith and gave myself to God, knowing I was the last guy God could use that way. And God will, all we've got, all is required of us is that we be an empty vessel and present ourselves to God. Empty ourselves of ourselves, and then we'll be filled with the Spirit of God after salvation. By the way, that's how you get saved too. You understand, I can't save myself. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. My only hope is a Savior. And that guy there says his name is Jesus. And I believe that. And I know that Jesus is the Son of God. And I know he conquered the grave and he conquered death. And I know he came to seek and to save that which is lost. I want Jesus to be my Savior. And so I empty myself of myself, and in simple faith, that's what it is. I trust God. I ask him to save me. I repent of my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I know I am. God, I need a Savior. Would you forgive me? And he forgave me. And if I'm going to be used of God after salvation, then I've got to empty myself of myself. I got big plans. That's your problem. You left God out of those plans. I've got big ideas. Maybe you're an idea guy. That's wonderful. But if you've left God out of those ideas, man, it's all going to come to nothing. Far better to empty yourself of yourself and say, God, here I am. Whatever talents, whatever I got, it's yours. You just take over. Empty vessel. You know what my credentials are? I'm saved and surrendered. That's it. That's it. That's all I gave Christ. Saved and surrendered. And he'll endue you with power from on high. Romans in chapter 12, verse 1, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, a big danger there, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. New creation, transformed. If you just give what you have to God, your weaknesses, your strengths, your desires, your loves, your plans, your big ideas, your children, your grandchildren, give them to God. I'm telling you, this is the end. Now, we may have years. I'm not saying it's this fall. I don't know when it is, but we're there. And you're looking at one preacher, and I'm not the only one. All over Michigan, we got together and prayed again last night on those conference calls. Wow. Those men are standing in pulpits this morning. If they're preaching the way they prayed, man, the church is being called to revival. Hey, if this election goes to the left, Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
I just know it. If it goes to the right, then God maybe has given us a bigger window. But Jesus is coming soon. Oh, no man knows the day or the hour. I am so excited to be alive right now. Right now, this year. I'm so excited to be pastoring Fundamental Baptist Church. Man, is that the Fundamental Baptist Church we watch online? I didn't know there was a church like that in the Upper Peninsula. That was a great compliment to this church. Man, let's reach this county for Christ. Let's reach Mackinac County for Christ. Let's reach Luce County for Christ. You people that are church members and you're watching on live stream and you're not able to be here yet, man, I'm for you. I'm your pastor. You had a help. You need help. You just call out Pastor Bill, Pastor Josh, Pastor me. We are there for you. But I'm going to give you issue a word of warning. Don't stay away and just be, think that live stream is church. If you're vulnerable, I understand. But don't let your flesh use it as an excuse. Man, we get to serve God right now in the day and age. And you know what our big need is today? Holy Spirit power.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.